If you'd like to turn with me in the Word, I'm going to try something here. Probably should have tested this before, but we're going to turn to Psalm 91.
That dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Okay. This psalm is a psalm that I've been meditating on and studying for quite a while now. And this psalm and another passage in the Word today that I brought forth, I'll bring forth again tonight, is the for your own personal notes and study to follow what I believe I'll be talking about and saying is found in John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, Lord Jesus is talking and is speaking, and He's speaking on the need for us to abide and to abide in Him, to abide in the Father. And with that, let's pray. Father, I just thank You so much for Your living Word and that You are the living Word of God, Lord Jesus, the everlasting Father. And I thank You tonight for all that You are doing in us, for us, through us, to us. And I pray that You would continue the anointing and what You've already started using our brother Mark, and continue to pour out Your Spirit and equip us for that which You've called us to, that we may prevail. In Jesus' name we pray. What a beautiful portion Mark started with tonight, and it's right from God. I believe that with all my heart. Do you? Amen. Praise God. So one of the things that he opened up with that really is just amen in my heart is this idea that's found in John 14, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And again, for your notes, I've been meditating not only on Psalm 91, but specifically been going over John 14 through 17, those chapters. And Jesus is addressing his disciples at first when you study this passage in the context. And then he goes from addressing the disciples, he goes into addressing us, he goes into prayer and communion with his Father, the need for abiding, and then he prays for us and for the future. And the key in it all is oneness with the Father and abiding through abiding. In John 14, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, and this is something I think that we really need to take to heart in considering who we are in a new creation in Christ. And it's this, that Jesus said to his disciples and to us, when you study the passage, it's clear in the context and his presentation that not only was he speaking to his disciples as those personal disciples, the 12, but he was speaking to the disciples that would come later, that includes us. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the things that you have seen and read and heard of me that I have done, yea, you shall do also, and yea, greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, and when I go to the Father, he will send the Comforter." And who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit, who lives and dwells within us, in that we are born of the Spirit of God in a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the other things have passed away. And we are, we are not only children of God, but believer priests and soldiers of the Most High. And Jesus just exhorted us in John chapter 15 to abide in him, to abide, to draw near, and to stand. To stand in the gap, to stand in intercession, to stand in Ephesians chapter 6 in the full armor of God in the day of evil, to stand and stand again and to stay standing, Paul put it. As a soldier of God, to stand. I love what David Torella shared here recently in his devotional and address a few weeks back, when he was talking about the armor of God. He brought the shield of faith. And I remember in my own personal studies and what I've been taught through the years, the idea that the Roman soldier's shield of faith was designed to be able to take someone in and cover them alongside during the fight, but by the soldier that was still able to do that. But he used a term that I don't think I've heard it before, but it just stuck with me. And it's this idea of locking shields in the battle and going forward and taking ground in the midst of the battle, little by little advancing as we walk with each other and lock our shields and stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we're exhorted again by the word of God to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In the original Greek, it's in the command form. We are to receive the action and participate into it, to be strengthened in the Lord and the power of his might. The power of his might. The word power is taken from the word dunamos. And we get the word dynamite from it. Okay? And it's the power of God. It's also translated in English, sometimes comes across as virtue, virtue love, or virtue character and essence, the very essence of Jesus Christ himself. Same word that's used, dunamos, in John chapter 8, when the woman of the well, or the woman with the issue of blood, approached Jesus and in the crowd reached out and touched his garment. And again, in the original, when you study the context and what was going on, it's believed that she touched not just his garment, but his prayer shawl, the crescendos of the prayer shawl. And she reached out in faith and received the strength to be healed. And Jesus then later commented, he says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And finally, she came forward and said, "I'm the one that touched you." And he said, he felt virtue go out from him. Virtue go out from him. Virtue go out from him. And this virtue is the dunamis power of God to heal. It's also defined as excellency of soul. And this is in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus spoke and he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And when Dave use that term, locking shields. I got this vision of the idea of us as we pray together and lock our shields of faith together, that and we stand against the onslaught of the enemy in the battle. And when you think about all the different things that are going on and the seriousness of their nature and the different kinds of battles that are raging against the body of Christ and this body in particular, they're very serious, some of them life and death issues. And we can't come against it in the strength of ourselves. John 15, 5, Jesus says in his that without him, we can do nothing of eternal value. Without him, we can do nothing in terms of eternal effect, but with him, we can do all things. With him, we can stand and stand on the promises of God, and the gates of hell, Jesus says, a promise. It's a declaration. It's truth. The buckle of the belt of truth that states, and Jesus is the truth, and he's not a liar, that we can stand and come against these things. And we can stand on the Word of God and the faith that's produced by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God. And we put up our shields and lock our shields together and come against and stand. If you can just picture the Roman soldier, or any soldier for that matter, whatever works with you in the Holy Spirit. But the example we have is a Roman soldier in Ephesians chapter 6. We stand together. And as the onslaught of the enemy, the fiery darts of the wicked come in, the shield of faith absorbs them, repels them, dilutes them, and renders them ineffective. And then as we stand together in faith, we go forward. We go forward and continue to advance the kingdom of God and God's dominion here on earth. God's dominion, his will being manifest in the subjects of those and the things that we're up against. It's a beautiful principle. And what comes forth again, is the emphasis of abiding and standing on God's word. Standing on God's word. You know, a lot of times we use the illustration and call the attention to the stories in the Bible. The stories in the Bible. These stories are not fables. These stories that are recorded are not stories that have been made up. They're not fiction. They're historical, real-to-life recordings of what has taken place in history, and they're there for us to look at, to read, and draw a parallel through the help of the Holy Spirit of how to apply them and what we see there in our lives. The woman with the issue of blood was real. She had, I think it was 12 or 16 years that she had fought with this issue that threatened her life. She had spent all of her resources and her money on the doctors, and none of them were able to help her. But she finally reached out in faith because she heard about Jesus. She had a fear of God. I'm sure she had a fear of God because she received one of the promises of the Old Testament in Malachi 4:2. It says, "Unto you that fear my name, Jesus, unto you that fear my name, Yahweh, the God I am." And Jesus said before the high priest, "I am that I am." And they knew that he was declaring that he was the God Almighty of all creation. "And unto you that fear my name," in Malachi 4:2 through 4:10, "shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." With healing in his wings. And we have by faith through the testimony of the word the ability of grace to receive the dunamis power of God to manifest healing as we come against the enemy's onslaught on us and our fellow brothers and sisters that we love. And we can lock our shields together in the full armor of God and stand in intercession and prayer and supplication. And it's so important, prayer. And we're seeing the effects and the results of it. And we need to keep on praying. Keep on believing. Because John 6:63, I've said it many times, Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And when you study it, he's literally talking about they produce life. They produce life. Proverbs 4, 16 through 18, the preacher wrote that we are to hold the word of God dear and we are to seek it with all our heart. And the word says there that those that seek the word, seek the Lord Jesus Christ, is the implication, the living word of God. The words of God are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Praise God, hallelujah. They are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. So we need to know the word of God. Now, I started out in my own presentation here tonight and using my Bible. That's my Bible that you as a church gave me. Thank you. Thank God. Okay. And we heard Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, there are promises that deal with this plague that we're up against. Three times it's mentioned in the term pestilence and plague. Promises from God, the word of God, in which we can stand as a promise to us with the underlying emphasis of introduction. The premise is, it is a presumption that we are abiding in the quiet place of God. That is, we are disciples and we are drawing near to him. And we're serious about the Lord. Okay? And we have the word of God to stand on. And if you will, whatever it is you're up against, whatever it is you're facing, whatever you're believing God for, either on a personal level or for others, what are we standing on? The word. And who is the word? Jesus Christ in John 1:1. He is the living word of God. His name is the word of God. And so as we look and we know the word, we can stand and stand on what? The promises. And where do we get the promises from? We get them from the word. And we literally need to work with the Holy Spirit to let him build faith and trust in what he says. Because the enemy and the flesh are going to challenge it. The enemy and the flesh and the enemies, the devil and the demons are going to throw everything they've got at us. And in the battle's constant, and the battle goes like this in terms of the order. It's mind, emotions, body. Okay? He goes after the mind, and he goes after the mind to affect the emotions. If he can get the emotions out of line, or he'll go after the emotions, and if he isn't successful there, but if he is successful, the order is it will have effect on the body. And if he can't get through to the mind and emotions, then he works on the body directly. I hope I didn't confuse you with that. It's a little bit complex. But as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? And mind, emotions, body, if you can get the mind out of whack, and thinking incorrectly, the emotions are going to follow suit and take over, and eventually the emotions are going to affect literally, physically, through stress and anxiety, the body, and have a physical effect. And that's a rabbit hole, actually. I'm not going any further down that one. I'm backing out, okay? But mind, emotions, the body. Think about that. You can study it on your own, and perhaps at another time we'll go into it, all right? 90% of the battle is in the mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And everything that will rise up and exalt its knowledge or pretense against us or against the word of God, we're to cast it down. And we're to take it into obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ within us. Because if you don't maintain control of the mind and the thoughts that are being processed and take them captive and bring them into obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find yourself off and experiencing the fruit of the effect of the attack of the enemy. We need to know the word of God. We need Romans chapter 5. We need to let our minds be refreshed by the word daily. A daily personal walk with God, and get to know the word so you can stand on the word. I remember I heard a testimony of a preacher's wife in the West, and I'm not going to go there in terms of names, but she had cancer. And her children one night heard her praying, and they opened the door to her bedroom, And there she was before the mirror, and she was talking to God, and she was standing on the Bible. And her confession was, Lord, I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your promises. And that woman received the healing. She stood on the word. Now I want to balance this, because sometimes in the sovereignty of God, in the perfect will of God, he doesn't bring healing every time. It's not guaranteed. But we want to be in the class of believers that know the word and know that we have asked, that we have believed, that we know the promises, and we've stood on the word and we've interceded, so that if God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we're hoping and believing, it'll be because he has ordained that we are called to fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. That because of the spiritual warfare, we may be called to suffer undeserved suffering and the effects of it because of the warfare and the aspects of that that we don't understand, but God does, and he'll have an answer for us before it's all done. Maybe when we reach heaven, but he'll have an answer and be able to explain it. In the meantime, if we've done everything that we know according to the word and of faith, obedience, and having the knowledge of the word, and we pray and intercede, locking our shields, it's going to be the testimony will be amazing of what God does. And we certainly don't want to fall into the classification of suffering because of our own sin, disobedience, or backsliding. No, we want to be of those that are abiding in the secret place in Psalm 91, verse 1, and standing on the word and the promises when it comes to the plague. You know, the whole world's excited, and the headline news right today is two pharmaceutical firms have come up with vaccines that are on the horizon. And they're all excited about that because it's the only thing that brings good news to those that are facing it. We have much more than that in terms of good news. We have the word of God in Jesus Christ. And we can stand on this word and stand. I'm personally, and I exhort this and I'm teaching it, but standing on Psalm 91 in terms of the promises. And the promise there, three times you see it, that, and don't be familiar with this psalm, the living word of God. Every word of God is pure. And God is not a liar. And he has given it for us to equip us with it, to stand on it, to go after. We got cases now where people are being tested positive that are close to us. Okay, what do we do with that? We stand and intercede for them. Stand on the word and pray. And the promise, pestilence and plague is used here three times, twice pestilence, third time plague in Psalm 91. And what does it say? It says to those that are abiding and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, that he will deliver, God will deliver them from the noisome pestilence. The idea there is that if it comes in and takes effect, that he'll deliver them. And then further down the line, the promise is, if you've got enough faith, I'll say it that way. And I probably should balance that, but no, you balance it, okay? That the plague will not come near our dwelling. So when I hear that the body is being exposed and maybe becoming vulnerable to the exposure, what is that? That's an attack from hell. And what's the promise of God? If we lock our shields in faith and stand on the word, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You believe that? Amen. Okay. Do you believe it? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And we are the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus was speaking about and speaking to when he spoke to Peter. When he says, Peter, you are the piece of the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Matthew 16:18, will not prevail against it. And we're to go forward as as frontline soldiers and stand with our shields up and go forward. And the enemy is coming against us, and we can stand, and we can stand on the word and proclaim the promises of God. And I mean in a literal sense, in a literal sense, you're interceding for brothers and sisters that are at death's door. Now, I'm not talking about the pestilence. I'm talking about just other serious issues. Stand in who you are in Christ and intercede for them. Stand on the word. Quote the word. It is written. It is written. Fill in the blank as the Holy Spirit leads. It is written. We overcome the devil and the demons through the written word of God in precise application. The other thing that we want to do is we want to stand and we want to remind the enemy of the authority under which we operate. We operate under the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on our behalf to make us who we are. And it's the blood, as the pastor's put it, he thinks it's the most precious thing in the universe. It's the blood of Christ that covers us. Our lives are hid under the blood of Christ, and we are given authority through Jesus Christ by faith that comes from the word that tells us who we are. And we are to exercise it and exercise our believer priest position and pray and intercede and speak God's heart and take a stand and go forward. Go forward. Again, the Roman soldier, Ephesians chapter 6, shows us that the backside of the soldier was not protected. And one of the reasons that's given for that is so that he couldn't turn and run because he would be vulnerable in the battle. We turn and run from that. We're to stand. We're to be like, I used it this afternoon, I'll use it again, like David. Use our experience and our knowledge to stand and choose the five stones of grace and put them in a slinger. I'm referencing Pastor Brian Lange's message here about a year and a half ago. He taught on David the slinger. David went up against Goliath, a little ruddy man. You know, he's a wimp in terms of his physical stature at that point. He wasn't fully grown and like his brothers, but he was a slinger, and he was skilled, and he took Goliath down with a smooth stone of grace, using what God had given him. And what he had exercised and experienced in terms of the gifts that God had given him. And he ran after Goliath because Goliath was mocking God. And Goliath will mock you if you choose to take the stand that I'm talking about. He will use the threat of intimidation and the threat of reality of life. And I'm not saying and promoting in any way disregarding what God has given us in the medical field. That is all from God, and it's a gift as well. But so far, the medical field has learned how to address this plague called corona. I think that's the way you pronounce it. But they don't have the answers. And they're promising us that they developed a vaccine. But how long will it be before it's available? And the media is intimidating us with the figures that you don't know how they're twisting them and where they're coming from about all the threats of the intensity of what is out there. If you listen to that, drive you nuts, scare you to death. We have the word of God. And I'm standing on the word. And I encourage you to do the same. Because it's the live every word of God. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Pure. And that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Given under the inspiration of the Spirit through holy men that penned it. And it's not a natural book. It's supernatural, if you will. And I'm not even sure if that's a correct terminology to be used in our language, but it's supernatural in that it's empowered and backed up by God Almighty. And our God is a healer. Exodus 16:15, Psalm 105, and Psalm 103. I am the Lord thy God who healeth thee, is healing thee on a continuous basis of all your diseases. Believe God for the release of that healing through your faith and trust in him. And know the word and the fullness of what we're talking about. Pray and believe. Pray and believe. I said it this afternoon, I'll say it again tonight. I have not given up. I am still believing God for the manifestation of the miraculous in multitudes of ways. He hasn't told me no. I know it's been challenged. Well, God has already done miracles. He's doing miracles on different levels all the time. I put the challenge out there. Just stop and meditate and think. It doesn't take long to start coming up with your own testimonies, as well as the testimonies of what he's done for others. And then on occasion, there's those where God hasn't answered the prayer in the way that we were hoping or desiring. But instead, he's answered it in a greater way. And I use my wife as the example. She received the ultimate healing. When you stop and think about it, she experienced miracles in the process of what she was going through, and then the ultimate healing, and that she's with Jesus, spared of what was coming. And we got to be ready to trust God if God chooses that. But in the meantime, we don't want to fall prey to the presumptuous indiscretion of not asking. Jesus, through the word in the New Testament, we have not because we ask not. We need to be asking. We need to be interceding. We need to be believing. That prayer chain is so vital and such a tool that God has given us. If you got a real serious need, you put it on the prayer chain. It's amazing what happens. Noah Hutchins, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. That's twice I've heard that one today. How about you? God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. All this to encourage you tonight. If you're not serious with God, get serious. I'm not yelling at you. I'm using a soft voice right now. I could yell. Okay? God said in Deuteronomy, this day I put before you blessing and life. I'm paraphrasing. Or curses and death. I bid you choose life. I bid you choose God. I bid you trust him. He wants to bless. He wants to use us to make the difference. Be that soldier that he's calling you to be, who learns the word and exercises the word. And by the way, it's quite a long process for the most part. Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah 28, verse 10. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Take what you have and go with it and seek God to let him teach you the rest. And we'll go right back to John 14 where Mark started. Ministry of the Holy Spirit in verse 21 and 26 is to teach us all things and teach us all things that are of God. And bring to remembrance the things that he's taught us that are of God that get instilled in our soul. It's his ministry, and he will do it if you will let him. And you have the right, in Psalm 75, okay? You have the right, and God calls us to believe God to use us to make us great. Because we are in the end times. He has ordained that you are here because he's allowed it and ordained it for your life. Acts chapter 17, we live and have our being and our place in God. It's not coincidence that we were born. Okay. Another rabbit hole, but another message. Do you know who you are? in Christ? You're a child of God. You're a believer priest. You're a soldier. You're a brother or sister of Jesus Christ. And you have amazing potential. Not in yourself, but in who you are in Christ. And I shared it this afternoon. Pastor has taught me this well. When we walk into a room, the demons quiver and shiver. And alarm bells go off in hell. Because they know who you are. Do you know who you are? Study the Word and let the Holy Spirit show you. You're going to be amazed at who you are in the new creation. You can spend the rest of your life learning it. The rest of your life redeeming the time and letting God use you to change things and make the difference through your faith and trust in Him. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. And I'll close with this. I'm just going to touch on this because it's part of what I've been meditating on. Jesus prayed for us in John 17, and He prayed, "Father, I pray for the believers," I'll paraphrase it, "that they would be one with us as you and I are one." Don't compromise truth for peace and unity. That's a message that's out there in the atmosphere being propagated in our nation. Okay. Don't compromise truth for so-called peace and unity. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Let our light shine. Let it shine brightly. And let it make the difference. And when comes time, if you need to call a spade, call it for what it is. And don't shy away from it. Cursed is the man that holds back his sword from blood. That's the word of God. Okay. And you know that phrase in the old text, have you ever heard this one? Your sin will find you out. Okay. Okay. That phrase comes from commentary in the Old Testament. I can't quote the chapter in the book. Give me time, I'll find it. And it was a commentary on a percentage of the people, a certain tribe, that wouldn't go to battle when they were called to go to battle with the rest of Israel. And the Word of God says your sin will find you out. And that's what it was addressing. We're called to go forward as children and soldiers of God into the battle. And you know what the beauty of it all is? We're the winners. We're the winners. We're the winners because of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you to take these words, encourage us with them, equip us with them, and help us to embrace them and go forward to possess the victory. If you're listening tonight on whatever this form of media it goes out on, and you never before received Christ, or perhaps you're here as a visitor, I'm blind, I can't see who's here. If you never before received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I bid you choose life tonight and choose Jesus. And pray with me and pray, "Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me and paying for my sins with your blood on your cross. Come into my heart and save me. I want to be saved. I want to become a child of God. I want to go to heaven when I die. And I want to live life to the fullest of what you have for me. In Jesus' name, I pray." And Father, lead us now, guide us, and continue to help us to walk with you in the Spirit, that we may possess the victories in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.